With our special guest, Hugh Simpson, his book, Extreme Preparedness on Land and Sea, we're talking about the solar minimum, which he believes through scientists could hit us in about 5 years. Oh, boy. Now, not everybody has the capability of just picking up and leaving. So when you make your phone call asking your question to Hugh, tell us if you think you have that capability of simply moving on into a different area on this planet. I think I may just go down with the ship. We'll see what happens. But we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with Hugh Simpson. So, Hugh, are you definitely going to move on?
Yep. I'm going to move to the Virgin Islands. I'm going to be leaving in a couple of months and going down there to establish. And I'm going to actually, remember my friend Tim that we had on, the guy that was former Royal Marine Commando?
Right.
He was on with you and from London that time?
That's right.
Did you know that he just finished soloing across the Atlantic Ocean by rowing it?
By rolling?
Yeah, with
an oar?
Yes, with an oar.
Jeez. How long did that take him?
It takes a long time. It's actually an international event, and they row all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, and he did it.
How big was the little boat he had?
I'm not sure how big his was. Some of them are bigger, and some of them, you can look up the event. It's an incredible event.
Did he do this by himself, or were there others in the boat with him?
No, you have to do it solo. You have to be by yourself.
My gosh. And is there like a little hut where he could sleep in and stuff?
Yeah. It's a specially developed rowboat. It's not like one we think about as a rowboat, but you do row it solo.
Now, that's somebody who could probably survive this calamity.
Yes, and he's going to be coming down with me. We're opening we call our Extreme Preparedness Commandos boot camp. We'll do our first one most likely in October. And we're going to talk about living 3 days without having, you know, your food and your and everything. So you will be able, no hammock, no tent, no anything. And we're going to be running those down there in the Virgin Islands. We're going to be running those camps down there in weekends and week time. And I'm going to teach people how to build the dome. The dome goes up, four people will put that dome up in about 3 hours. It uses only 2x6s. It uses plywood hubs and wooden dowels. And people say, oh, my God, a wooden dowel. No latches and nails and bolts and all that stuff. I said, no. Yeah. Once you put that wooden dowel in there and you use a rubber mallet, and kids can put this together. It's a gigantic tinker toy.
Yeah.
Gigantic tinker toy. And then you cover it with plywood triangles. Or the new thing we're working on is hempcrete. Have you heard of hempcrete?
I sure have.
Yep. Well, we're working on doing some hempcrete by putting the hempcrete on the domes because that would give some of the insulation to the dome. About an R10.
Well, it sounds like you're covering your bases.
That's what we're doing. We're covering our bases. We created a corporation to cover our bases. And we know that the Saudis and the Chinese are already down in the American Virgin Islands buying up all kinds of land down there already. And so they're there. And like we see, we've got a backup with Belize. And I don't know if you know it, but it's a huge Mennonite society in Belize.
Yeah.
A huge group of Mennonites. And they're very self-sufficient. So I want to go where some good self-sufficient people are as a backup. You know, I might need them.
What are you going to do about chaos in case you're out there? And, again, the haves and have-nots, and you would be someone who had a way to survive. What about those who want to take that from you?
Well, they're going to be that. That's one of the reasons we think about the aircraft carrier scenario is that we could put 100 former special forces people on that aircraft carrier, and there ain't too many Caribbean pirates. And by the way, they are in there.
You know, what do you do about fuel for the aircraft carrier? Eventually, you're going to run out.
Yeah, you're going to run out. So you have to put that aircraft carrier, George, in a certain area and leave it. You anchor it.
You're just stuck there.
You're stuck there.
You didn't have enough food, but you can't stay there for 35 years, Hugh.
Well, we don't know what else you can do. In other words, you can get on the land down there, but look where some of the areas are where the equator are.
This is a planet killer.
Columbia. I don't want to live in Columbia. You know, I don't want to live there, right? Don't want to live in Venezuela.
You may have to.
You may have to. I mean, this is the kind of thing where, you know, geopolitical things could change drastically.
I would say 90%, at least 90%, don't have the capability of picking up and leaving.
That's probably true. That's probably true. But, you know, the whole idea is money is not going to be very valuable, you know, in when it starts to really come together and it really starts to go into mass, and we call it the peak.
You know, well, that's situation. True. Money won't mean anything.
Won't mean a thing.
Let's go to the phones. Harry in Port Huron, Michigan. Hey, Harry, go ahead. You're on with Hugh Simpson.
Oh, thank you very much, George. Two things. Hugh, you'd be a wonderful FEMA secretary, for sure. I don't know if you would do that, but you'd be wonderful at it. You'd be the best we've ever had.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And secondly, well, I'd love to have you. And secondly, you guys have been talking about -5 degrees or -25 degrees. The best people that you could be using, Hugh, right now, and the best people, George, if we want to prepare, are people who live up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and people who do business up there and the power companies and everybody.
Yeah.
Get those people on, because they live in January and February every year with highs of -45 and lows of -45.
Yeah, they know how to do it. That's true.
They know how to do it.
They
are the people we should be. You're absolutely right. We should be working with those people, learning what they do up there, and getting them involved. I think that's
absolutely
an excellent idea.
Do you have the capability, though, of picking up and moving?
No, I don't.
No.
I'm one of those people. I don't know.
You're one of our 90%.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get those people on. They know how to do it. And if we got to do it for 35 years, I'd rather learn from them because they know how to do it.
You betcha. Those igloos work. Those ice igloos, they work.
All right, Hugh, what happens to radio stations and my radio show, which is sent out to all these stations by satellite?
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, what is going to happen with the satellite situations? I'm not sure what's going to happen in that area. That's one of the areas I've thought about, you know.
And will we have personnel to be able to handle stuff like that?
Yeah, there'll be some personnel. I mean, we've got trained special forces people and weather people that are trained to be, like he said, in the 45-degree weather. Okay, there are people that could do this.
Maybe we should pick up and go to Mars or something like that.
Yeah, well, who's working on that one? Elon Musk. And here's another thing. Who has a thing up in the Arctic that he created, beyond 60 Minutes and everything like that? Bill Gates created the seed bank. Remember that?
Which was a great, smart idea.
Now we're looking at why it was such a smart idea.
You think he knew something then?
I think he did. I think he did.
The seed bank, by the way, is a vault of every seed imaginable to keep plants and vegetables and everything else going in the event of a calamity.
That's right.
Keep the planet going again. Know. Mike in Connecticut, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, good morning. I just have one question. Could you highlight, give me two or three different elements as to what's going to cause this solar minimum? And I'll take your response off the air. Thank you.
Okay, Michael. Yeah, tell us about the scientific end of what happens with the sun.
Well, what happens is it goes into Dr. Sokova is the better one to explain.
Would she be a guest on this show? What do you think?
I think she would.
Can you get to her for us?
I could try to. I will definitely try.
All right, that's your assignment, Mr. Newsman. See what you can do.
Because Tim is from the UK, okay, and he's very. He protects. He left CNN. He said he couldn't stand all the situation was going over there, so he left CNN as a security person for that. He's back protecting U.S. and British embassies.
Okay.
And so I think we can get to her. We'd have to ask her to please, you know, remember we're not physicists.
Right.
But, yeah, and I think she would do it. You know, she's getting so much attention now that it would be good to have her. And other scientists are saying, my God, she's on target.
But explain the solar minimum again.
The solar minimum basically happens every 350 to 400 years. And what it does is it goes to the minimum amount of heat that it can put out because of where it is located in the cycle.
Does it have anything to do with sunspots?
Yes, because the sunspots go down to the worst, to the lowest amount that they can be. When they start really going down, she said that normally there's X amount of sunspots, but during a solar minimum, there's only 50 a year.
So, in essence, the temperature of the sun drops.
That's what I understand.
And it doesn't take much to affect Earth. I mean, they say that just like a degree change in temperature from the sun, plus or minus, could be devastating for us.
That's exactly what she says in her thing. Yeah, she's somebody you definitely would like to have on.
Now, that's not, yeah, that so that's your assignment, sir.
That is my assignment. I will work with Lisa to get her to come on there and talk to you about it and everything like that. But I did have, and people that are getting the master plan, her link to her 1.5
All right, and she can speak English?
Oh, she speaks beautiful English.
All right, super.
She's become a Brit.
But where is she now, in Russia?
No, she lives full-time in the U.K.
Oh, perfect.
She's from there, and she got her degrees from there. See, they have a great interest over in the former Soviet Union and Russia. They have a great interest in astronomy and astrophysicists and all that kind of things, making more so than we do here.
We're taking your phone calls this hour with Hugh Simpson, his latest book. And where can we get the book, Extreme Preparedness?
You can get that at Amazon, or you can get it at my website.
Super. And we've got the websites linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hi, Bear.
Hi, George. What a great program tonight. And listen, I'll tell you what, when you come back to Asheville in April or May next year, you should really consider having Hugh Simpson on the show.
You talk to Tom about that.
I surely have, and I will.
All right.
All right, listen.
Hey, brother, over there in South Carolina, my whole family's originally from the Greenville area, and I was with the one of the co-founders of Beach Music Association International.
Oh, my gosh. I can shag like crazy, buddy, at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
The great beach music of the South Carolina, North Carolina area, the great area of Myrtle Beach. Yes, sir. Harry Turner was one of my clients. He was one of my clients. He did the book called This Magic Moment, and Harry just passed away. He passed away this year, and he was one of my longtime friends and clients in my public relations group.
I know exactly who you're talking about, Hugh, and that is a fascinating. You and I could carry on a conversation.
Oh, yeah, we will, brother. I love that music.
It sounds like you two are trying to. Go ahead with your question, Barry.
All right. Well, Hugh, first quickly tell me what town in Western North Carolina you're in.
I'm in Franklin.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not the tour guide that was on Coast to Coast a few weeks ago, are you?
No.
Nope.
You remember that, George?
Yeah, but that's not Hugh.
Okay, because Hugh, my wife and I have a condominium in Highlands, North Carolina.
But Barry, I gotta get you to your question. I've got loads of calls. Go ahead.
What's your question?
Okay, Hugh, quickly, can you tell me what the difference is between your dome and the old Buckminster Fuller geodesic dome?
The difference is that we use a dodecahedron shape, okay? And that is the strongest geometrical shape on planet Earth. Bucky used the geodesic shape, okay? And MIT said, well, we can improve on it. They always...
Yeah, his was all round, right?
Yes, but we're all round. All of us are round. I mean, we're still round.
Okay.
It's the shape that we put the struts and the hubs in. It makes it the dodecahedron.
Yours is stronger.
Yes. It will stand Category 4 to Category 5 wind.
But he did pretty good for not having a computer.
Oh, yeah. Do you know how he started his first dome and where it was? Black Mountain, North Carolina, okay?
How big was it?
There.
Was it pretty big?
He was teaching there. And the first dome he ever made, you know those wooden window shades we had, George, when we were growing up?
Oh, yeah, with the slats.
Yeah, with the slats, that was his first dome, and it collapsed.
Oh, wow. I hope nobody was in it.
No. He had been a little model. He was showing his students, and it collapsed.
Let's go to Walt in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Hey,
Walter, go ahead.
Hi, George. As usual, it's always great to talk to you, buddy.
Thanks, Walter.
George, as far as Mr. Simpson goes, with all due respect there, from what I understand, there are two schools of thought on how the Earth is going to be rendered uninhabitable. One more or less agrees with what Mr. Simpson said might be termed the ice theory or the Mars theory, that you've undoubtedly heard that the Earth, the iron core is going to cool to the point where there's not going to be a magnetic flux, and we're going to lose the protective magnetic field, and the atmosphere is going to be lost to the solar winds and the ionizing radiation. Now, that's one theory. That's the ice theory, the Mars theory. Now, the other theory is might be termed the Venus theory or the fire theory, and it's much less well known, George. There's some scientists think that stars go through a natural life cycle where they have a normal epiphany, become a red giant, and mm-hmm. then you have a supernova explosion, and then finally it becomes a white dwarf.
And then we're history.
Right. Well, either way, we're history, George. Now, but you know what's frightening? From what I understand, they think that the Earth is turning into a red giant much more rapidly than was originally thought.
You mean the sun is?
Yeah, the sun.
The sun is. You know, true. I've heard that.
Originally, they thought, when I was a kid, you read that, we have another 4 to 5 billion years before the
sun. Well, that's what happened to me in grade school. I went home crying one day, Walt, because my science teacher said the sun's going to burn out eventually, and he meant 5 billion years. And I went home as a kid crying to my parents saying, we're going to die. The sun's going to burn out. And my dad said, George, that's 5 billion years from now. Don't worry about it.
I remember that, too. I remember when we were told that.
but even though it's happening quicker, Walt, it still could affect us. But won't it get hotter, not colder, if that happens?
Yes, it will get hotter. But the frightening thing is, George, that there's some scientists, from what I read, they think that we only have more or less 1 billion years left. And see, it's happening incrementally, and it doesn't mean we have 1 billion years left, because long before we hit the 1 billion year mark, the Earth will already be like Venus.
Yeah, too hot.
It will already be too hot to sustain any sort of much less human life.
Well, and again, even if it's 1 million years from now, I don't think we really have to worry about that. What do you think?
Well, the other thing I was going to say is that after the solar minimum becomes the solar maximum. So it does solar minimum and goes back to the solar maximum. So in 2055, it'll start warming up again. And many people believe it'll warm up even more than it is now.
Well, it's kind of sad, though, Hugh, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad to know that this is the way it really is. Yeah, we grew up thinking that we'd be and our kids would be around and everybody like that, I think like the shootings that are happening and everything, I think that we're getting so stressed out.
Well, okay. All the time. Hugh, we're going to hit a quick break. We'll come back with final phone calls with you in a moment. Hugh Simpson, our special guest, talking about his book, Extreme Preparedness on Land and Sea. We will be back with the rest of your calls. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Hugh Simpson. Our final segment here as we talk about the possibility of a solar minimum, which could create a mini ice age, which would create a disaster. His book is called Extreme Preparedness on Land and Sea. Tell me about this preparedness workshop you're putting together, Hugh.
Well, the preparedness workshop will be basically to teach these people, number one, Tim will do the 3-day on surviving out there at your, with almost nothing, okay? And then we will do putting together the domes. I'll teach people how to put together the domes. I want to teach a group of people then that they can go out and teach somebody else. You can go out to teach somebody else. You can go out and teach somebody else. And so we can get a group of people that can all know how is the best way to prepare themselves for this and for, just being prepared, period. And one of the quick things I wanted to tell you with, I know you are real supportive of our vets, and I work with a wonderful group called aboutface-usa.org. And their plan, they're retired Marines, and they're in their 70s to 80s, and they're just amazing individuals. Their plan is they're taking homeless vets off the streets into a six-month program where they teach them how to do a bank account, how to do everything, and they let them learn something. And I'm going to be developing a new line of furniture called Class Z Minimalism.
Man, you don't stop, do you?
No, heck no. My dad died because he stopped, and I will not stop.
I know that feeling, yep.
So the good Lord puts me in that box. I'm not going to stop. And so they're going to be developing our line of furniture, and they stay in the program 6 months, George, and then we put them right out into the workforce. And this is a hand up instead of a handout. So it's in the master plan. I talk about it in the master plan that everybody can get for free. And it's also about face-usa.org.
Super. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Martinez, California. George is with us. Got to be the guy from Pittsburgh. Hi, George.
And the guy from Pittsburgh. How you doing, George?
I'm doing great. How's Kathy doing? She's doing well.
I shipped you a number of articles. NOAA and NASA say this isn't going to happen. I'd like to know where this guy's poop is. Second, I want to mention briefly, I was in Wendy's with Kathy Friday night wearing my conspiracy expert T-shirt. And a guy walks up to me with his son, and he said, I like your shirt. My son's very big into graves. And I said, well, I, you know, do videos on YouTube. My videos are on Coast. I know George Norrie. And he said, I know George Norrie. I listen to him all the time, and so does his son. His son is 5 years old.
I love that. Anyways, what do you think? Hey, George, go ahead with your question again for you.
Know where he gets his proof, because the articles I sent you an email, every expert that I'm finding except the Guardian in the UK, which panics at everything, is saying this isn't going to happen.
All right. What do you think, Hugh?
I think it's NASA spin, George. As George and I were both news investigative reporters, they don't want you to do this. You remember the television show Mad Max?
Yes,
they got out in the streets and shot each other and everything like that. What we have seen this past weekend will increase drastically if more people saw, you know, Nora O'Donnell talking about this and saying, oh my God, this is going to happen or whatever, because they don't want you to learn what this lady is. Brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. Her degrees and everything she does. And she is so passionate. When you watch that video, she is the most passionate human being about what she does. It's like a mystery to her. And she's so excited about it. So she's not doing it just to earn money or fame or anything like that. She's doing it because she can enable through her algorithm and her mathematics background and her engineering background and all that, she's been able to put this all together. And as she says on the YouTube video, you decide for yourself, and she tells that audience out, you decide for yourself if I'm right. You know, I'm not going to say I'm the be-all, end-all, as some people try to say they are with their ego, but she says, at least look for what I've done. And, you know, I frankly think she should be nominated for a Nobel Prize.
All right, you're starting to break up a little bit on us, Hugh, so try to get a better signal there if you can.
The mountains.
Those mountains keep hitting us. Let's go to Carol in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Carol.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm great. Hope you're doing okay, too.
Well, thank you. I am. 3 months is helping, I guess.
Good.
Yes. I saw you in Columbus.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember. Yes.
I remember that.
My question, what is the position of global warming with all this?
Uh-huh. What do you think of that, Hugh?
Well, you know, some of the experts are saying now that, you know, that Al decided he wouldn't call it global warming anymore. He called it climate change.
Well, yep.
Somebody said,
Well, hello, George. All of it's climate change. So,
hot or cold, it's climate change.
Yeah, it's climate change. So the whole global warming clique out there, they're starting to change their tune. And I saw somewhere on the internet that actually the Arctic, Antarctica, or was the Arctic ice, is actually increasing. So, you know, who knows? I think that with the, you know, what she is saying, what Dr. Sokolova is saying, I think that we will see it much colder.
Well, what's interesting, Hugh, is we've got a guest named Robert Felix. I don't know if you've heard him. He's written a book called Not by Fire, But by Ice. And he says we're in a mini ice age right now.
Yes, I've heard about him. Yeah, absolutely. All the things, the Hawaiian thing, the rains, everything we're seeing now, people are saying, oh, I've never seen that so much rain. Oh, I never saw that much snow. That cyclone snow thing that went through Texas. All these things are, as he says, you know, and other people are saying, this is the precursor to bringing this about.
The only thing that would really save us, I think, for those who can't move around, is if we have still our summers. Even if they might be shorter. But I think that would help, wouldn't it?
It would help some. Yes, it would. And also, what that gentleman mentioned about, you know, what they're doing in Alaska, what they've done for years in Alaska.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
We need to do that now. I mean, this is like, this to me is what I consider like John F. Kennedy did when he said, let's go to the moon. Well, now we need to say, how can we save 300 and how many million people are on the planet, I mean, on the USA? How can we save all these people with this coming? We need to begin considering that instead of worrying about selfies and what else I can come to the network.
First time caller. John's with us in Seattle. Go ahead, John.
Hey, you. Hey, George.
Hi, John.
Can you hear me okay?
Barely. Good. Let's give it a try. Go ahead.
Well, I think this might be a good opportunity for the whole world to work together. Because have you heard of how everybody could fit on Texas living together?
Yep.
In houses? Well, I heard that everybody could fit on a basketball on one dot, like a checkerboard, if you're standing 3 feet.
Well, we're gonna have to start thinking eventually as a global planet together, but I'm not sure that people can do that, Hugh.
I'm not sure either, but boy, this, as he just said, is a chance for us to get together and do something.
That's what the United Nations should be doing.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's what all the Hollywood stars. And by the way, my real good friend, you should have him on. Oh, you should have one of my colleagues on, Rich D. Sabatino. Does that ring a bell?
Rich D. Sabatino. Why have I heard that name?
He's been a consultant to a number of television shows, including Miami Vice.
Uh-huh, that's right.
He was the consultant to Burn Notice. He's formerly of the U.S. Justice Department.
Seen him popped up as credits, I think, on some of those shows.
Yeah, and Kryptol. Have you heard of the Kryptol phone?
Mm-hmm.
He invented it. So he got a hold of my book, and he agrees. He's amazing. He believes in the Bureau. He believes in all of this. And so he said, let me tell you, your book is so good that I have a number of Hollywood clients that I have. He said, I have bought clients, those books for those clients. I want them to see what you've written in this new book.
Perfect.
And I said, wow, what if some of his clients, you know, who are well-known, I mean, we're talking Academy Award winners, what if they said, we need to do something. We need to do something. He's right. We believe what Dr. Sokolova is saying. We need to get this going now and, you know, start getting the world aware, especially the young people that say, you know, well, those old folks don't know what they're talking about. What if you got young people saying, hey, I think they're right. I think, you know, we better start figuring out how we're going to live our lives out and our children are going to live their lives out. And we got to get together and do this. And this may be I look at it as a wake-up call from God. This may be the wake-up. We considered that Y2K was going to be the wake-up call. This may be the wake-up call from God saying, you know what? You need to get together, and you need to solve this problem to the best of your ability. And don't put your head in the sand and say, oh, my gosh, oh, I don't know who's going to take care of me and everything like that. No, blah, blah, blah. Let's get together, and like that gentleman just said, let's solve this problem together. And that's why, you know, I'm willing to speak. I'm willing to find Dr. Sokova for you. I'm willing to get the people together and say, let's do this. It's not for money. Let's do this to get ourselves out of the situation we're facing.
Let's go to Bill in Hastings, Florida. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay.
I'm down here in northern Florida, and I was wondering if the Midwest is going to be like an ice age. How are things going to be down here? But I also had an idea while I was on hold here for a while. And what if we were to have a series of magnifying glasses and mirrors positioned by satellites in outer space to magnify the effects of the sun that we do get? Couldn't we counteract the ice age effect?
You might go the other way and make it even too hot that way. What do you think, Hugh?
I don't know, but you know, that's an idea. I mean, this is what we need to do with people like Elon Musk and all those people out there, the geniuses of today, and the, as he was talking about, Matt was talking about creativity. This is what we need to be doing for creativity. We need to be figuring out how are we going, if this is the way it's going, how do we make it so that we can survive it?
Exactly. And what do you think about Northern Florida?
Northern Florida, I came from there. I'm from Jacksonville.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I'm looking at Northern Florida being probably in the 25 to 30 degree temperature. And I've lived in Northern Florida. I've seen the snow in Jacksonville. And I've lived through 25 years.
What if people move to other areas within the United States? Like, what if they went south or something like that?
Started going to south to Florida. See, I mean, you're looking at Florida, and people are, now you're going to see an exodus from cold places like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Montana, and all those.
Right.
People moving south. Yeah.
And then in 35 years, you go back up north again.
Yeah. I did a funny thing. I said, wouldn't it be funny that all the people decided they wanted to go towards Mexico while the Mexicans all want to come here?
That'll be interesting indeed. Well, I got about a minute left, Hugh. If people want information on what you do, tell us.
Well, if they want information on what I do, they go to valentine.international or valentine.international. That's the website. And they also can get that master plan, and it's right there at the Valentine.international. It's on the newest post there, and I'll be glad to do that. And I use Zoom for video conferencing and talking and everything like that, and I'm going to put together some people, and we're all going to work together, you know, that on your show and everything like that. My mission with you is to get Dr. Sokova, and
absolutely,
I will do that, and I will get with Lisa to find her.
Super. Hugh, thanks for being on the program. I hope we're all wrong, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, God bless. Bye-bye, brother.
He's the prediction. He says within 5 years, it really starts again, the mini ice age, and it gets really, really cold. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about the plot to overthrow Venezuela, and also Mary Rodwell joins us to talk about ET contacts. Well, we've got it all for you on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and if you need to send me an email, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Badal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.